We went on a little bit of a tangent. Rama went on a little bit of a tangent to try to define for us what the process is of identifying true nevuah. How do you know when nevuah is true? Okay. So we said, going back to the page Tesvav for a second, he said that you have to realize that there are two types of nevuah, and each of those can be split up further. There's idolatrous nevuah. Nevuah has to do with Avodah Zarah, that he gave us two types of that. And he said no matter how many tests or miracles they bring to support themselves, it's not true. If the material that they are, well, not the material, if the content of the nevuah is pushing you towards Avodah Zarah, so then you know it's a test and it's not true. And he had that great line where he said, "Test your mind, trust your mind, not your eyes. Don't be swayed by miraculous things." Then we were told that there are two types of true nevuah, or nevuah that is not true, but two types of nevuah that are b'shem Hashem, that are done in the name of God. One is when we're told to change the Torah, and that you know for sure is not true. And now we pick up on Daf Yud Zayin, Hachelek Hasheni, Binyan Hanavi, right, that's what we're up to?
Yeah.
Kigon Shiyikra Levnei Adam La'avodas Hashem. If the Navi comes and says to serve Hashem, V'yitzave al mitzvaso, and he tells you to keep his mitzvos, V'yazhir lishmor ha-Torah b'li tosefes u'migras, and he encourages you to do exactly what the Torah says, not to take away, not to add. Kimosha Amar Hanavi Misayim Hanaviyim, just like the last of the Nevi'im, Malachi said, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of my Eved. V'yavtiach lemi she'asena, and this Navi promises blessing and bounty to those who do the Torah, with milos tovos, v'yizoyer l'chol ha'oved alei ba'onash. We just started. And he warns against those who go against the Torah. Kamosha Amar Yeshayahu. We just started. Again. Yirmiyahu Yechezkel V'Zulasa on the other Nevi'im. If you look at what the common denominator between all the Nevi'im is, common denominator is that they're all encouraging to follow the Torah. The content is the same. It's obviously not exactly the same, but they have that commonality in their content. And again, they command mitzvos and they asr isurim, sometimes things that are not in the Torah. Kigon, shiomer, hilachmu al ir plonis. They might tell you, go attack such and such city. That's not a mitzvah or an avera per se. Oh, im uma plonis ato, or attack this nation now. Kumosha tziva shmuel, l'shol, l'chein bal malek. Which that was a mitzvah in that situation. O ye manami laro, kimoshe mana alisha liyehoram, meharo khel aram, hanichnas lashomram. Or like Elisha told Yehoram not to kill the army of Aram that was coming into the Samarian region. Kfiya inyan hanoda. U kimoshe mana Yirmiyahu is Yisrael, milalachas laritz Yisrael. Or the same way that Yirmiyahu was Monea Yisrael from going to Eretz Yisrael. Uchadom el inyin zeh. Ubishvil zeh. And therefore, for this reason. Kishi yito, this is important. What?
Weren't they in Eretz Yisrael in times of Yirmiyahu?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what he's referring to over there. What does he say in the bottom here? Yirmiyahu chaf test, dalet test. Shehi zirim shalola tisni babel lifnei melo shiva shan al. Yeah, they shouldn't come back until 7... That it was a gzeirah of 70 years of exile. They shouldn't come back yet. Yeah. Ubishvil zeh, and therefore, we're on page Yudches. Kishiyit.
Doesn't help.
Oh, sorry. Ubishvil zeh. Kishiyitan hanavi ta'anas nevua velo yismo chosal avodah zarah. And therefore, this is the summary. The summation. That's what I was looking for. This is the summation. When the Navi makes a claim, a prophetic claim, and he doesn't relate it to Avodah Zarah. Velo Yosef Patar, velo Yigram Imenu. Aval Yomer Dvar Machairim, Kamosha Siparnu. He tells you something else. Then, Nitzarech az levchonoto kedei shetitzboer lanu eduso. Then we go through a testing process. Meaning, the first stage in identifying a true Navi is look at what he's saying. If he's saying Avodah Zarah, if he's telling you to stop doing something in the Torah already told us that a Navi will not come and be mechadesh something against the Torah. So you know already that he is a false Navi. Oh, but he did miracles? Doesn't matter, we don't care about miracles at that first stage. After you've looked at his content, and you've decided his content is okay, meaning, in general, he tells you to keep the mitzvos, and he warns you, right, the Navi is a mashkiach. He's giving you mussar, and he's telling you to do the mitzvos and not to do the averos, and he gives you chizuk. Right, mussar doesn't mean negative. He gives you chizuk. Then, if he then tells you to do something, which is not an avera, per se, he tells you, okay, go to battle now. Or, I know that such and such is going to happen. There's going to be a famine for 7 years, so start storing up now. So now, we have to test him. After you've passed that first stage. If he prophesies and it comes true, Roy lasos kol mashi yitzaver. Then, in the future, you should do everything he says. Midavar katon ad gadol. And if you don't listen to him, you're chayiv misa v'dei shamayim. Kemo she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'mish over al tzivoy hanavi, anochi edrosh me'imo. But im lo tiskayim eduso, if his nevuah is not fulfilled, then you must b'chenek. Then he's a false navi. We're going to discuss this a little bit more coming up. V'kiyum edus hanavi yek fish agir. And what do we mean? We said you have to check to see if his nevuah is fulfilled or not. So how do you check that? As follows. Kishiyit yaches adam lenevuah. When a person claims a relationship with nevuah, kamo shebayarnu, v'yehogun la. So again, it's a little bit, it's not written. We're modern. So we expect things to be written very systematically. The Ramchal was like the greatest systematic Jewish writer. The Rambam, in general, is, but in these Hakdamos, you have to remember, he was young. In these Hakdamos, you also have to remember, we'll let my true colors come out. The Rambam didn't go to school. He didn't write, he learned with someone. He didn't go to our schooling system, from a certain perspective, is much more sophisticated than their schooling system. They didn't write papers. He didn't have to prepare reports. He didn't have to hand in an outline, and get the outlined okay, and then write the paper. So the Rishonim in general don't always write so organized. It's not because like they want you to have a melus, and therefore they purposely write it in a way that's not organized. I'm sure they want you to have a melus also, but that's not why they wrote that way. They wrote that way because I have a feeling that, you know, it's just a theory. That was the way people wrote. They didn't write. It wasn't. You know, it's hard for us to think that way because we are trained to be so systematic and to be organized and to give a. You know, your paragraph got sent back if you didn't start off with the what's that called? What's that? The topic sentence? Is that what it's called? Yes. The topic, the thesis sentence. You know, where's the thesis? It's in the last paragraph. You got to bring it back. Now, I know the raya against me is the Mishnah Torah, because the Mishnah Torah is super organized. So I hear that. I know that that's true. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a good historical reason for that, of why maybe he spent a lot more time on it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the reason was. But here, for instance, he's going a little bit out of order.
It's just like the outline, any Shiva has to be a bad speaker.
Right, well... That's always the joke they said about Rav Soloveitchik, that the Rav Soloveitchik said the same thing as all the other Rosh Shivas. But when you left Rav Soloveitchik's shir, you actually understood everything. And he like put everything together. And you actually walked out saying to yourself, like, that was so easy. Like, why don't we think of that ourselves? When you went out of other Rosh Shivas shirim, you walked out and you said, like, whoa, he's brilliant. What did he say? I have no idea. But he is brilliant. And the people said, like, oh, the Rav's shirim aren't so brilliant. Because, like, it was pretty easy, everything he said. I can tell you in our own yeshiva that we've had people come and visit and say, like, You know, I know specifically, I used to do the Shalom Misha for a Reish Shir. I know people used to visit and be like, that's not such a good shir. It's so clear. It's not a good shir. And they told me, I went to another yeshiva, I heard so-and-so shir, heard so-and-so shir. That was really confusing. That was a good shir. And that's standing on your head. Because the clearer something is, in general, that means that it was given over in a better way. And it was given over, of course, it could be because it's much simpler, not sophisticated. But a sophisticated shir given over clearly is a maila, from a certain perspective. When there's confusion, and things aren't as clear, it, like we said, about a maila, so you have to work hard, you have to understand, you have to... So there's mailas and chesronos to each side. Here, the Rambam tells us, we already were told you have to look at the content. And we're just told that you then have to test him and see if he comes correct. If he's correct, so then he's good. And if he's not correct, then he's not a good Navi. And now he says, let me tell you the order of how it goes. When a person claims to have Nevuah, you have to be Hagun La. You have to be... If you have to be Hagun to the Nevuah. Kigon, Shiyame Anche HaChachma, V'ha Emuna, V'ha Nezirus, V'ha Seichel, the Noem Hamidos. The Rambam just gave us five prerequisites in order to be a Navi. You have to be intelligent. You have to be a man of faith. Of faith. You have to be a Nazir. Doesn't mean you have to be a Nazir. It means you have to be a person who minimizes, a Poresh. A person who minimizes indulgence in Olam Hazeh. Doesn't eat a lot. He doesn't, engage in a lot of sexual activity. I mean, mutter sexual activity, obviously. Usser sexual activity, it goes without saying. This is going to be a hint. There's a big, we can call it a scholarly debate if we'd like, about the Rambam's view of Nazirus and Precious. In general, the classic Mahalach is the Ramban was into Precious. The Ramban was into Precious. Kedoshim Tiyu, his famous vort, Prushim Tiyu. What?
Did Igros HaKodesh?
If you wrote Igros HaKodesh, yeah. It's described to him. I don't know if he really wrote it. But yes, the Ramban was a big Porish, and he was an ascetic. And the Rambam took the opposite view. The Rambam was was against asceticism. And how does he define Kedoshim Tiyu? Something that I've quoted probably before. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says that Kedoshim Tiyu is not to be Poresh, but Zu Asiyas HaMitzvos. If you do the Mitzvos, you get Kadosh. You don't have to go beyond the Mitzvos to become Kadosh. The Mitzvos make you Kadosh. That's why we have Mitzvos. They make us Kadosh. We don't eat everything. We don't eat pork. We don't eat shellfish. Even when we eat, we make a bracha first. All those things make you less Gashmi and make you more Kadosh. The Ramban says, no, obviously you got to do all that. You got to go beyond that. Don't eat meat during the week and limit how much you eat. So this is the classic way. And they always say that it's reflected in the, who knows? It's reflected in the Mitzvah of Nazir. Mitzvah of Nazir is very strange. At the end of the Nazir period, Nazirus, at the end of the period of Nazirus, he has to bring a Karban Chatos, which is very strange. Why do you have to bring a Karban Chatos? That implies you did something wrong. So the Rambam says, yes, you did something wrong. You became a Nazir. Being a Nazir is extreme. And that's a soul against you. Pasuk says, Ki chatal anefesh, you sold against your soul, you sinned against your soul. The Rambam says, yeah, being a Nazir is sinning against your soul. Because you're supposed to enjoy the world. You're not supposed to be poresh from the world. The Ramban says the complete opposite. What's your chatas for? Because you stop being a Nazir. Because a Nazir is an ideal. This is a great machlokas, and the Rambam is so sure himself in Mishnah Torah, because in another section of Mishnah Torah he calls a Nazir a Kadosh. And the Ramban has great psukim that support him. It's a great debate. It's a great topic. Not for now. That's the classic understanding. However, there have been people who have written many mamarim that have argued that the Rambam says that for the Hamonam, and that for the more philosophic and for those who are more elevated, the Rambam was into Precious. And they try to quote here and there little hints in the Rambam where he's very supportive of Precious. Many of them are in the Mor Nevuchim. The Mishnah Torah seems to be much more, not into Precious, and the more Nevuchim seems to be much more into Precious.
Which makes sense, but their whole idea.
If you want to say that the Mishnah Torah was written for the Hamonam and the Morachim was not written for, that was written for the elite. I'm not such as. Some people say the Mishnah Torah was written for the general public, and the more Nevuchim was written for the elite. I'm not convinced of that, but that is certainly a trendy answer these days to say. I didn't mean that to be. Derogatory. That's it, the fad right now, to that scholarship, that the Mishnah Torah was for the Hamonam and the, but that's like the classic thing that like a graduate student would say. But the very advanced professors have argued not like that, and also some very great. Rabbanim, including the Ragachev, who used to pask in Shilas, Alach Lamaisa, for the Marnevuchim. Just one indication is the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, which has very esoteric philosophy in it, the very beginning of Yisodei Torah. Certainly not the average reading for the Hamonah.
But then he says he's like not going to get into it for the
right, but he certainly says a lot. And then there are sections of Marnevuchim, certainly the end, where he speaks very, a lot of the third chelik of Moreh Nevuchim is very understandable to the average person. It's not, the first two sections are a little bit harder to understand, but that might necessarily be because they're so deep. It's because of the fact that they're written, they're very like medieval philosophy. And if you lived in medieval times, I'm not so sure how, and you were used to that language and that type of reasoning, I'm not so sure how extreme it would be. But anyway, this is a debate that continues to rage on about the role of the Moreh Nevuchim. There are a lot of great articles about it, if you'd like. I can point you to some of them. Yeah. Okay. Now, what are the five prerequisites? So one of them is to be intelligent. The second is to be a man of faith. The third is to be Poresh, a Nazir, like a Nazir. Nazir with a lowercase n. Anyway, I'm just pointing it out. This is this is for the Navi. This is not for the average person. But you definitely see that it's an ideal. These are ideal behavior for the Rambam.
Emunah is not for the average person?
No, I'm not saying that these things are not at all. But that a person has to have all of these things is a prerequisite for being a Navi. An average person probably should strive for these things also. That's my point, that these are obviously ideals. But you cannot be a Navi unless you have this. Let me just finish, and I'll tell you about Amos. Seichel, we have to see what the difference is between Seichel and Chachma. Seichel might be intelligence, Chachma might be knowledge. Like, you have to have a good knowledge base, and Seichel is just raw intelligence.
You know how we use it? Just like, use some Seichel, like, use some...
Right, yeah, that's how we use it.
Very
basic
logic.
That's true. Again, remember, this is written in Arabic, so we have to know what his original terms were. V'noam hamidos, and also a pleasant midos. As we know, as Chazal tells, now, it's funny, because he just quoted his source, although his source identifies three things, not five things, and he doesn't mention Gibor and Ashir. So, I think Gibor he does mention, because the Chori, he understands Gibor doesn't mean physical strength, but Gibor means strength over your taiva. What? Restraint, right, exactly. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, was Gibor Amilakod Eir, what's the Pasuk? That greater Gibor than the Lakod Eir, the one who conquers a city, is one who conquers his title.
Gibor Kavishis Yitzro.
Right, he is a Gibor Kavishis Yitzro, right. What about Ashir? So Ashir is interesting because he doesn't quote it. He doesn't say, oh, what does he say in the bottom? Oh, he addresses this in the bottom. Gibor says Kavishis Yitzro, Ashir says Samech Bechelko. Okay. What? Midos, maybe. Malos,
that's the definition of the zeros. If you're not. Yeah.
I would think Ashir would be talking about like rich in knowledge. I don't know.
The rich in knowledge. Okay. I mean, the postulus of Chazal is to be wealthy. Why would you need that to be a Navi?
To not be reliant on anybody else.
Okay. Maybe. Anyway, I'm just pointing it out. It's interesting. Ram tells us five things, and then he quotes Chazal, which doesn't fit in perfectly, but this could be how he understood the Chazal.
Shabbos and Pekelos?
What Shabbos?
I mean, it's Shabbos and Sazibes.
Okay, I guess so. No. This quote is from Shabbos. Ein anavu ashore el al chacham gibor v'ashir. That's from Shabbos. then his analysis of that Gibor means Kovishes Yitzro, that's based on Pirkei Avos. Okay? This is interesting. The Rambam here, this idea, the stress on Seichel and Chochmah, the Rambam sees Nevuah as the logical, not logical, as the as a process of intellectual growth. You become a Chacham, you become a greater Chacham, you become a greater Chacham, and then eventually you become a Navi. Because the Navi is the next level of Chachma. For the Rambam, there's no such thing as being like, you know, you're walking in the street one day and all of a sudden, like, poof, you get like hit with like this prophetic vision. And you like run into like the closest like supermarket and you say like, I had a vision! And everybody looks up and you start giving a speech about like a vision that you saw. You know, and everyone starts like throwing things at you. That's not what Nevuah is for the Rambam. There's no such thing as Nevuah like that. The Navi is somebody who spent his life studying, thinking, developing his mind. His mind develops to a certain degree where all of a sudden he taps into another level of Chachma, which is called Nevuah. Okay? All of Chachma comes from Hashem, and he's given over to us. Nevuah is a more elevated form of Chachma that a person can acquire. This comes to a head by Amos, because the Pasuk says, in the very beginning of Amos, that Amos had a profession. Anyone know what it was? He wasn't a physicist. He wasn't a scientist. He was a cattle herdsman. Okay? He worked in the fields with the cattle. Which we would assume, and the Malbim assumes, that means he wasn't such an intelligent guy. And therefore he asks, how could he have been a Navi? So I always thought that maybe when it says he was a cattleman, it meant that he owned a cattle company. And he was a businessman. That was my pshat always. But Malbim doesn't think that pshat. Malbim thinks that it's strange that this person, we've never heard of him, we're not told that he's a tzaddik, we're not told anything about him, we're not told that he was a chacham. He wasn't a... No, the other Nevi'im, they were shoftim, or we know that they had a beis din. Chazal tell us they had a beis din. They learned. Amos, we don't hear anything like that about Amos. All we hear about Amos is that he was a cattle herdsman. So the Malbim says, how could he have been a Navi if he was a cattle herdsman? He wasn't elevated enough. So he tries to figure out, maybe the Rambam, maybe at the time there weren't any intelligent people and he was the most intelligent. He tries to figure out. But that's because he's assuming like the Rambam, that you need to be a Chacham and a Bar Seichel. Now I don't mean here to disparage Amos and say he wasn't. But just using that, that's just to see the Rambam's opinion. And there are many other types of milos like this that a person has to have to be a Navi. The Hadibor Bohem, the Haraya, Kolecha, Me'amek, Pesukim, Me'amek, Sifrei Torah, Me'divrei Nevi'im, Yitztarich L'inyan Azeh Sefer B'fnei Atzmo. To go through all the prerequisites and how I know them, what my sources are, I need another Sefer. The Ulai Hashem Yisayeni Alav, Ema Sheroi L'Eschaber B'inyan Zeh. And maybe Hashem will help me to compose this. I believe in Mor Nevuchim he makes a reference also to a Sefer Nevuah that he's working on. We don't have it, so we don't know if he wrote it and we lost it, or if he never wrote it. But he tells us here he has a Sefer Nevuah that he'd like to work on. Okay. Oh yeah, he says here. U'b'hakdamaso l'sifro Mor Nevuchim, he says, Kfar hitzchel l'chaber Sefer Nevuah. In our footnotes, we're told that also in Hakdamah Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam wrote that he was in the middle of a Sefer Nevuah. Okay, so let's go through our prerequisites again, because he did them a little out of order. First of all, you got to look at the man. Is the man a person who has the qualities of a Navi? That's test number one. Good. Yes, let's say he passed that test. Test number two, what do you have to check? What he's saying. What types of messages does he give? Does he give messages that are in line with the Torah or messages that are not in line with the Torah? If he passes stage two, now it's time for stage three. And here we test him. Ubihios hamisnabe hugum of nevuah kfima sheroi. If the Navi is fit for nevuah, so nomar lo, we say to him, havticheni biyaduim. Prophesize for me, prophet. Tell me something that's going to happen. Something good. Tell us a secret that Hashem told you. Something good that's going to happen. So he tells us, Im yiskaimu yudav kulam, if everything he says comes true, as neda shekol nevuah so emes, then we know that everything, all of his nevuah is true. V'im yishaker ba, o nofal echad mitvarav, v'afil davar katan, neidashu navi sheker, v'zeo kasav b'torah b'inyin ha'b'china hazos. And this is what the Torah refers to when it says, how will I know if something is what Hashem said? As the Navi says, the Torah says, test them. Now, remember, the Rambam said in the beginning that a lot of people made mistakes when they read the Torah about how to test Naviim. Why? Because they read this pasuk which said, test the Navi. And they thought that that was the first test. You test him and you see if he's able to make good on his nevuas. The Rambam is coming to argue on that and say, no, this pasuk is only describing the third stage of the test. After you've looked at the man and you've looked at what the man says, now you start to look at, now you test him and you see what he does. Kishyitztadik lanu haftacha achas oshtayin ein lanu lahamin bo v'lo marsh nevuah semes. It's not enough to test him once or twice. Because it could always be lucky. You test them a number of times until he's true consistently. Trivia question. People will ask you, what does the Rambam think about testing the Nevi'im through miracles? And they want you to say, that's not the right thing to do. That's not true. The Rambam doesn't think that's the right thing to do first. But at a certain point, we do that. When we saw that everything Shmuel said was true, Pasuk says, "V'yeda kol Yisrael ki ne'eman Shmuel l'Navi Hashem." Then everyone knew that the Shmuel was a good Navi. In general, I'll take a question one second. In general, this is an important idea. We spoke about this a little bit the other day. Some guy rides into town and tells you that he's a Navi. So you have to be very suspect that this guy's not a Navi. A Navi, this is like the machlokas with Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach about the Lama of Tzaddikim. If you read Shlomo Karlbach stories, or Baal Shem Tov stories, you get the image that a Lama Vovnik is like some guy who, like, he's like some drunk guy in the bar, you know, like Chinas Barney. He's sitting there all day in the bar, and then all of a sudden, he's really doing like all these crazy, miraculous things. He's really like this hidden tzaddik. From a lot of Jewish sources, you don't get that impression that that's what a Lamed Vavnik is. Lamed Vavnik is a person who's a Talmid Chacham, and he's got amazing midos, and he's recognized as a tzaddik. But you don't realize the extent of his tzidkus. He's actually much greater than you think he is, and than you know he is. The Rambam here, I'm using that just as a mashal ma'ad davar doma. A Navi is not someone who comes out of nowhere and rides into town and says, "Hi, yeah, I'm a Kabbalist, I'm a Navi. Give me $200, we'll meet, and I'll give you a good prophecy. A Navi is a person who over years has shown that he's a Navi. He's a person who is known for his tremendous midos, a person who's known for his tremendous chachma. He's a person who's been tested time and time again and has shown that he is true, what he says is true. He's also, I skipped the stage, he's also a person who's constantly encouraging people to do the mitzvos, to stay away from averos. Yeah, question.
So, first of all, how come it doesn't seem like with Yirmiyahu, or for example, people like threw him in a pit and put him in jail and like completely were terrible to him, and yet it seems like just through logic it would seem like he would have more followers than, you know, like two guys. If this was what... So if we accept Yirmiyahu as a Navi because he had these logical flows. First he said,
everyone knew he was. So what happened?
So
I think that happened towards the middle of his career. I don't think it started right away. Also, you have to realize some of the, I'm sure you know them, but everyone else has to also realize that some of the historical context of Yirmiyahu had, right, as soon as Yirmiyahu was told he was going to be a Navi, what did he say? I don't want this, because he knew he was going into a losing situation. Basically, there were tons of Nevi'ei Sheker running around saying, "Don't worry, guys, you're all fine," even though they were sinning. Don't worry, it's fine, you're doing great. You don't have to improve, you don't have to change anything. And he was going against the tide, and telling everybody, no, we need to do tshuva. No, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. And he's like the most tragic figure because he's sitting there his whole life, his life work, and no one's listening to him. And then he has to sit there and suffer through the destruction himself. And he suffers through the destruction. So I think there, those historical context issues are what doomed him. Because of the nature of the people and the fact that they were sinners, so they didn't want to hear the message that he was giving them. Sometimes when a person tells you to do tshuva, you don't want to hear. You'd rather hear the other message. But it's a good ha'ara. It's a good ha'ara.
And also, is he going to talk about Bilam?
I mean, how did he become a Navi?
Yeah, how did he become a Navi?
It's also a good question. I don't know if he's going to address it, but I can tell you that... I don't know if it's for this reason, but Tzadok HaKohen, familiar with his writings, Tzadok dedicates a tremendous amount of writing to Bilam, and he argues a very interesting... I remember I was on a date with my wife, and I had thought of this theory, and I told it to her, and I think it got her nervous about our future when I told her this, but then I checked it with a Rav, and he told me that Rav Tzadok says it, and then since then I've read it in Rav Tzadok. Tzadok develops a theory that Bilam was actually a tremendous tzaddik. He was Zach. Ever heard this? That Bilam was a tremendous tzaddik. That's why, if you notice, if you read the pasukim, Bilam sounds like a great guy. Rashi is the one who keeps. I mean, Chazal, but Rashi keeps quoting it. He's the one who keeps burying Bilam. Bilam says like, "I won't do anything without Hashem," and you know, and then like Rashi sticks in, "Unless you give me a lot of money," you know, like totally changes like what Bilam looks like. Tzadok develops that Bilam was a tremendous tzaddik. And was a very, very righteous person, but he couldn't accept that Hashem chose Klal Yisrael to have a special role in the world. And because of that, through the experience, Bilam soured and became very evil through the whole process. But that Bilam began, when Bilam started off his career as a Navi, he was like the, you know, he was like the, I don't know, what? Yeah, he was like, I'm thinking of like, what's that guy's name? Gandhi, not Gandhi. Who's like that?
Peace guy.
Yeah, who's Gandhi. Was that Gandhi? Gandhi, yeah. Like the Mother Teresa, like Lahavdil. That he was like the, you know, like the righteous Gentile of the world, and he was zoch to nevuah because he was a tremendous chacham, and it was only that he soured at the end because of a confrontation with Klal Yisrael. It's a very interesting theory. Anyway, I think we have to stop.
That's what
Tzadok says. Yeah.
He would lose his nevuah.